Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg joins us now, and I don't know about you, Scott, but when I hear on the news that these YouTube videos and other social media posts, these rants by the Highland Park shooter have been removed, you know, the reaction, I think, from all of us is now it's removed. Can't those social media platforms police that better or do something to alert authorities? What's your take on all this?
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, I'm with you totally. And, you know, it really, really makes me think as I think about all this stuff, read through all this stuff. And my take is, yes, the social media platforms have to do a better job. All this stuff, I mean, not in every case, but in this case, all the stuff is out there. And it is a matter of being able to see what is uploaded and take action. But what happens, unfortunately, and we've seen this time and time again, is there's just so much stuff that's coming in, and the platforms don't take any action. And, you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about over and over again is the need for people to report the things that they see. And I'm not saying that if somebody would have reported a video that it would have made a difference, but think about what could happen if everybody comes out and, you know, says that they see something and they say something, and maybe the social media platforms act differently. It's all hindsight at this point, unfortunately, which is so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, what stood out to me, and I don't know that this has been confirmed yet, that some of these very troubling social media posts this guy put up there were there for as long as 8 months. And so you have to think that if a number of people over time would alert authorities, maybe somebody would have gone and checked this guy out, maybe discovered a weapon, you know, who knows? And hearing you say what you just said, I'm thinking after September 11th, when we heard, if you see something, say something, apply that to social media now. If you see something on social media, say something.
And Bob, this is exactly, yes, this is exactly why I talk about these things, why it is the global responsibility of the people who use the social media networks to take action on people's behalves to make sure that these types of things don't happen. But see, that right there is the difficult part, to make sure. We don't have the power to make sure these things don't happen. It's the social media companies that have the power to make sure. But even if we look at the technical aspect aside, how do we get them to do that? I can tell you countless times, not in this case, but I can tell you countless times that I have seen things on social media that have concerned and alerted me. So I have reported them, and I get a note back from the social media company. It's all automated, and it says, this does not violate our terms of service. Please block the person. And that seems to be what happens. And if you think about the things that happen in our society today, you know, gun violence, whatever it is, there are a lot of people out there that are saying, you know, we see it time and time again, but there's no action taken. To your point about the seeing something and say something, that really, really extends to social media. If we see it all the time and we're standing there and we're saying, hey, you know, this person is doing this or someone's doing this, why can't we stop them? That's the question. Why can't we stop them? And the answer is, I think, because the social media platforms, you know, they do their own thing, and they're just so big, and there are so many of them. We're talking about in stories this morning, again, we don't know what's been confirmed and what's not been confirmed yet, but, you know, there's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's Discord, there's all of these channels that we don't even usually talk about just because they're there, and they all have their own set of rules.
You know what? In the end, it's on us. I mean, we can point a lot of fingers in a lot of directions here when we're talking about the social media aspect of this, but maybe the thing to do, as you say, you report this to YouTube or Facebook or whoever, and you're not going to really get the action that you hope for. Maybe the thing for us to do is to report to other authorities, report to police agencies these things instead of just reporting back to the social media platform.
Absolutely. I mean, doing that is a great additional way to do it. I think the problem with only doing that is that, you know, I'm not sure exactly how those specific laws work in specific places, but it could be a matter of you have to report it to the social media company. But to your point, this is what it all comes down to. What is the harm in reporting it to someone else? To your example, what is the point in reporting it to a local police department or a federal police agency? What's the harm in reporting it to a social media platform as well? The very worst thing that happens is you don't hear anything back. And as upsetting and as frustrating as that is, at the very least, you know that you reported something. And I know how difficult it is to see something, say something, and to hear nothing, believe me. But to me, it comes back to exactly what you just said and what we've been saying in conversations for years and years and years. Imagine how different social media would be if every time we saw something that concerned us and someone took 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes to actually report it to a company. Go on to Google. How do I report a problem post? How do I report a post I'm concerned about? Get linked to the help page. Go to the help page. Even if it's not the best place to do it, the fact that it would be happening to me makes more sense in this case than anything else that we could do.
Yeah, a mass shooting avoided is not always in the headlines, but yeah, think of what it could lead to if we followed that. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg with us. Scott, people are on the move this summer. What do we need to be aware of in terms of traveling and getting on Wi-Fi and so forth?
That's a really good question, Bob. When you're traveling, here's my top tip. When you're traveling, never take advantage of those networks that are called free public Wi-Fi. And by that, I mean those Wi-Fi networks that usually have a name like that, like free Wi-Fi, and they don't belong to a business that you recognize. These can actually be designed for the sole purpose of intercepting credit card numbers and other personal information.
So is what you're talking about here something different from the free public Wi-Fi at a coffee shop?
Yeah, very, very different. If you're using Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, like at a Starbucks or something, it'll show up as Starbucks or it'll show up as Google or something like that. But, you know, at a Starbucks, you can always ask what the trusted network is. Those are, you know, there are paid Wi-Fi networks, for example, at airports. These that we're talking about, they actually say free public Wi-Fi or free Wi-Fi here. You just have to realize that when you're traveling, anyone can create a Wi-Fi network and actually call it anything.
Good tip. What else do we need to know when we're on the move?
Well, when you're on the move, you really want to make sure that your mobile phone settings are updated. And by settings, I mean everything from the latest software updates, which keep your devices safe from outside interference, to simple passcodes that lock your screen. Because, you know, there's always the chance that you'll drop your phone while traveling. Second, if you leave a phone unattended, let's say on an airport chair or a tray table, you want to do whatever you can to dissuade a prying eye.
It's common sense, I guess, and technical as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a mixture. You know, common sense definitely plays a big role. We probably don't think much about people peeking over our shoulders when we're traveling, but, you know, it happens.
Wouldn't you say the chances of something like that or something bad happening are pretty slim? I mean, do you think people will weigh the risks or just assume nothing will happen?
Well, you know, Bob, it's a very fair question, and I would say no one wants something bad to happen. So to me, the first step is to take whatever steps you can to prevent it. And to be clear, you know, it's like, you know, you can do things like, you know, you don't want to post vacation photos. You know, I'm not saying that I haven't done that. But like, for example, people like to live stream something and then, you know, post it immediately. And when you do that, you run the risk of everyone knowing exactly where you are. So to me, it's always worth keeping those things in the back of your mind, you know. But, you know, there's the travel specific tips, and there's also other things that you can do to stay safe. And we've talked about those things in previous conversations. And one big one is, you know, a secure password for your mobile phone. That in itself goes a long way when you're at home and on the road.
And those are important tips. I want to leave us with one last one.
I would say, you know, one goes back to, you know, the photos that you upload. You know, you never should post photos or screenshots of plane tickets or boarding passes or passports. And I know that sounds crazy because I know that seems like something you shouldn't do, but that should go even if you black out what you think is the most sensitive information. Documents like that really should never be shared for any reason. And here's an interesting thing. There are ways to edit photos where you can black out sensitive information. You know, people use those tools and stuff, but those blacked out sensitive pieces can still be accessed when people can like edit their photos and tone their photos. So I am not really sure, Bob, what entices someone to post something so personal, but I see it often enough where it's definitely worth bringing up here.
Yeah, I should say so. On that subject, our Genius Bar question comes from a listener, Scott, and let me read this text. How do I get iPhone photos on my PC as JPEGs so I can take them to Walgreens for prints?
Oh, that's a great question, but I'll save you a whole mess of trouble on that. Don't skip the PC. If your photo that you're talking about, if I'm understanding correctly, if your photo is on an iPhone, just use the Walgreens app or the drugstore app or whatever app you're using. You can upload your photos directly, and then you can have them printed out. I've done that a whole bunch of times. It used to be where you couldn't do that, and you had to actually send a photo over to a PC and then put the things on a disk or put the things on a flash drive. You don't have to do that anymore. You can just use the app.
That sounds easy. Even I could do that. It's digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, Scott. Talk to you again next Tuesday.
Take care, Bob. You too.